Icon chooses a new way to woo Yahoo.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon in for Scott Jagow. Activist investor Carl Icahn bought up a bunch of Yahoo stock and started agitating for the company to sell itself to Microsoft. What he ended up buying is growing hostility from the entrenched executive suite at Yahoo, and now, just when it looked like he might not beat him, he's joining Yahoo's board. The settlement between the two sides heads off a showdown over control of the company at the August 1st shareholder meeting. But as Marketplace's Dan Gretsch reports, Icahn is still looking for a good return on his investment.
Billionaire investor Carl Icahn owns 5% of Yahoo, making him the company's second biggest investor. He's used that position to push for a sale to Microsoft and to try to remove Yahoo's CEO. This morning, Icahn gave up his most recent campaign to replace Yahoo's current board with a rival slate. Michael Gartenberg is with Jupiter Research. He says Icahn may appear to have lost these battles, but he's determined to keep on fighting. Icahn and two allies now have seats inside Yahoo's boardroom.
The walls have now been breached. Icahn didn't go through all this effort to get a seat on the board, to put two of his directors on the board, because he thought Yahoo's business was doing just fine as it was.
In a statement, Icahn said he will still push to sell Yahoo's search business or the company as a whole. Yahoo has been hurt by a softening ad market and competition from rival Google. Yahoo reports its quarterly earnings tomorrow. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
The Swiss pharmaceutical giant Roche wants full control of Genentech, the largest maker of cancer treatments in the U.S. Roche already owns half the biotech giant. Now it wants the rest. Here's Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London.
Roche is offering almost $48 billion for the outstanding minority stake in Genentech. If it goes ahead, this will be the biggest pharmaceutical deal for 5 years. Some analysts say it looks like a smart move. With the dollar so weak, Roche will be gaining the rest of Genentech on the cheap. And Genentech is doing well. Its researchers have already provided Roche with their best-selling cancer therapies. But Jeff Goldfarb of the financial website Breaking Views has his doubts about the deal.
Genentech has really thrived at arm's length, even though it's been controlled by Roche. But taking 100% suggests that there may be some structural changes that could change the way things operate and maybe not deliver quite the same benefits.
He also believes that Roche will have a fight on its hands. The minority shareholders in Genentech will hold out for a much better price. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Profit fell for a fourth straight quarter amid more big losses at Bank of America, but today's results topped analyst forecasts. That makes Bank of America the latest big U.S. bank to beat estimates. Its stock is up nearly 9% today. And so it goes again for the stock market, still riding the wave of encouraging financial news. The Dow is up 50 points at this hour, 0.5%. The S&P 500 and the NASDAQ are starting the day up by similar percentage margins. Remember Janet Jackson's revealing wardrobe malfunction at the big Super Bowl halftime show in 2004? Well, a federal appeals court says it was federal regulators who malfunctioned. The three-judge panel ruled today the Federal Communications Commission acted arbitrarily and capriciously in issuing a $550,000 fine. You're listening to the Morning Report for Monday, July 21st at marketplace.org. The price of oil is up about $2 a barrel today. There's been a lot of talk about why oil prices have gotten so high. One popular culprit is speculation. The Senate's expected to vote on a bill to limit speculation this week. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Sam Eaton reports.
Supporters of the bill blame energy market speculators for as much as 30% of the recent run-up in oil prices. They hope to bring those prices down by broadening federal authority over futures markets and providing much-needed funds to regulators. But Wall Street lobbyists say the bill's blanket approach to curbing speculation would unfairly punish those who don't abuse the system. Greg Zerzan is with the International Swaps and Derivatives Association.
Investors, like retirees, would be prevented from getting access to the one asset class, commodities, that's been holding up relatively well in the recent market.
Zerzan says even a farmer trying to hedge the cost of fertilizer through natural gas futures would be considered a speculator under the deal. Consumers could also feel the pinch. Zerzan says just about every industry, from airlines to manufacturing, use futures contracts to hedge their energy costs as a form of insurance. Take that away, he says, and the price of that cross-country plane ticket could go even higher. I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
Another aspect of fuel has China concerned: air pollution. Beijing started drastic smog control measures over the weekend. It's part of a last-minute push to clear the air for the Summer Olympics. Lisa Chow reports.
It's a two-month plan in which drivers take turns using their cars. Only odd number license plates were allowed on the streets today. Officials estimate this rule will take more than half of Beijing's 3.3 million cars off city streets. Timothy Hui works for the Natural Resources Defense Council. He says it's too hard to know whether this experiment will clear skies.
You know, if people wish to feel with their eyes and nose about the improvement of the air quality, we would have to cross our fingers for better natural environmental conditions.
Today's sky was a faint blue, and the sun came down through the haze. In Beijing, I'm Lisa Chow for Marketplace.
Federal Election Commission numbers are out. Barack Obama raised $72 million in the month of June. John McCain took in $27 million. These days, fundraising has become as much a part of a lawmaker's job as public policy. A generation ago, it took years to rise to power on Capitol Hill. But these days, there's a new path to power. Marketplace's Steve Henn has the story in part one of our special report, PacMen.
If you're young, ambitious, and a member of Congress, a Leadership Political Action Committee is this season's must-have fundraising accessory. Lawmakers first formed these loosely regulated accounts 30 years ago as a way of raising cash from lobbyists and other special interests. The money is then passed around to lawmakers facing tough election fights. Understanding these PACs is crucial to understanding how Washington works.
They are an arm for the member of Congress to use in gaining power.
Fred Wertheimer is the founder of Democracy 21, a campaign finance reform group.
They are a very important vehicle for lobbyists to curry favor with the members.
Wertheimer says when companies and lobbyists give to a leadership PAC, they're making an investment in a politician's future. So how does this work? Take Congressman Eric Cantor, a Republican from Richmond, Virginia.
He's serious. He's helpful. He's not just out for himself. He can raise a ton of money.
Fred Barnes from the Weekly Standard is excited about Cantor's prospects. Cantor became a leader in Congress, chief deputy whip, just a few years after he was first elected. He consolidated his power with the help of private equity investors, hedge fund managers, and other big donors to his PAC. Barnes says Congressman Cantor led the fight to keep their taxes low.
That's probably not a nationally popular issue, but right now it's not a problem.
And that probably doesn't hurt his fundraising either.
Well, it certainly hadn't hurt his fundraising, certainly people in hedge funds.
Turns out Eric Cantor is a fundraising machine. He used his leadership PAC to throw parties for investors and lobbyists at resorts in Beverly Hills, fine restaurants in New Orleans, and ski resorts in Aspen. He says it's all for a good cause.
Wherever we go, obviously we're trying to raise the most money so we can help our cause and we can, you know, return the Republicans back to majority.
And he's been generous with the money his PAC brings in. According to Federal Election Commission filings, in the last election, he wrote more than 200 checks to colleagues totaling $1.3 million.
We want to deliver on the promise to make sure we're helping Republicans.
And Fred Barnes says his Republican colleagues in Congress would jump at the chance to return the favor one day.
Of Republicans in the House, I would say Eric Cantor has by far the best prospects of being the next Republican speaker of anyone. In fact, there's nobody close.
In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Congress will be debating this week whether to authorize what's essentially a blank check for mortgage giants Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. The administration's plan includes giving Fannie and Freddie borrowing rights from the Federal Reserve. And our friend Alan Sloan has some thoughts about that.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
Mr. Sloan is senior editor at large for Fortune magazine. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Bob.
So it seems there's never a moment's rest for the Fed chairman. This time he's got a key role in the plan to backstop Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, and he's been doing all he can to reassure the markets. Let me quickly play you a comment that I heard go by on Capitol Hill last week from a member of the House Financial Services Committee. This is Democratic Congressman Michael Capuano of Massachusetts. He was telling Mr. Bernanke how instrumental he's been in saving us from a complete meltdown.
You have been the leader in this country in proving that taking action, taking bold action, sometimes action that's a little bit on the edge, helps the economy and is something that is necessary. And I think you're following in the footsteps of some people that really saved this country from disaster in the 30s.
So what do you say, Alan? I'm not suggesting Mr. Bernanke isn't a great guy, but is the Fed really all it's cracked up to be in saving us from the rest of the world here?
The Fed is doing the best it can, but it doesn't have the power and the clout that it used to have back in the day when the dollar was actually a real currency instead of something people were rushing to avoid in the rest of the world.
Well, on the other hand, we saw, once Wall Street had the chance to digest the backup plan, if you will, we saw Fannie and Freddie stock shoot way, way up. So that would suggest that the Fed does have a role here.
Well, just look at Fannie and Freddie. Look at their debt. The Fed, they're applying everything they have. And if you think of this in medical terms, the Fed is inserting all sorts of needles, trying to keep the patient going, and it's taking more and more medication. And the response is just not good.
What I think I hear you saying is that these financial institutions have been allowed to grow so large that the Fed effectively can't control them anymore.
Right. No one really controls Fannie and Freddie. But the Asian central banks now are enormous holders of debt of Fannie and Freddie and have been essentially financing the United States budget shortfall for years and years and years. And their clout is going up and up and up. I'm not telling you the Fed is nothing, but the Fed used to be the god of the financial universe, and it's now one of many, including the European Central Bank and these Asian central banks, which in some ways may well have more power than the Fed.
Alan Sloan, senior editor at large at Fortune Magazine, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
And I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. We'd like to hear your thoughts. Click on the contact link at marketplace.org. And we appreciate you making us a part of your morning.
American Public Media.